Matthew 28 tonight. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet over towards the end of Matthew's gospel. And this is kind of a springboard tonight, but I found out when Brother Brian and his wife were kind of taking a little break and a little vacation that she had him up in the air somewhere on some little narrow walkway. And I just reminded when I looked at this verse, Brother Brian, that I sent it to you. I said, Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always. He's afraid of heights. And Tanita, you know both Charity and Elizabeth. And Charity helped me roof my house. And I'm telling you, she climbed like a squirrel. And she was a great help to me. But Elizabeth, if you stand her up in the pew, she's trembling. Amen. She's too high off of the ground to be comfortable. Amen. But tonight, I want to look here at the last part of this verse 20. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, how many tonight feel like I'm setting you up big time? But how many of you feel like that part of that verse right there is for us? Lo, I'm with you always, even Jesus, Brother Gary's favorite verse over in Hebrews, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, I want you to back up with me to verse 18, and I want to ask you this. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me and in heaven and earth. How many believe that's still the truth tonight? He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Now, if the last part of verse 20 fits you and I in this generation, my question is, does the rest of it fit you and I in this generation? Does it? Do you believe God wants us to go into all the world and preach and teach the gospel to every creature? Do you believe that sending missionaries to Africa and across the sea relieves us of our responsibility to go across the street? I don't either. Amen. I want to challenge our hearts tonight, and I'm going to preach on this subject, walking with the Lord. Here's the subtitle, Gone Fishing. You can be seated tonight. Amen. Pray with me and pray for me. Father, I thank you tonight for the privilege to be at Bible Way. Lord, the people that I love, that you love, God, you put us together, and I'm thankful for that. I never take that for granted. I could have went all the way to heaven, Lord, and never met these precious people, never gone to meeting with them one time. But Lord, you let our paths cross, and I'm just thankful tonight for what you've done in my heart and in my life. Thank you, God, tonight for the Word of God. I pray, Lord, you'd make it clear to us tonight and help us, Lord, to do what we can to be a blessing to our precious people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're going to turn a lot in our Bible tonight because I want you to see it with your own eyes, number one. And number two, I didn't take the time to print out the Scripture the way that I normally do sometimes, so I'm going to turn in the Bible and read it. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, please, tonight. Matthew chapter number 4, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. What I wanted to get out of this scripture right here is that these are common men. They're probably about as common as a man you'd ever meet in your life. They're just old rugged, rough fishermen. And Jesus said, would you follow me? He said, I'm going to teach you how to catch a different kind of fish. Amen. I'm going to make you fishers of men. And I want you to see also that it required them to leave something. They left their nets. You remember Wednesday night, the cost of walking with God. A lot of people, they want to walk with the Lord until it involves a cost. You remember what David said about the threshing floor there to Arnon. He said, I'm not going to offer to the Lord, or God forbid that I should offer to the Lord that which cost me nothing. Amen. So take your Bible now and turn to Mark chapter number 1. Mark chapter number 1. Laying a little groundwork, then I've got about 7 things I want to say tonight about gone fishing, walking with the Lord. Mark chapter number 1. Mark chapter number 1. In verse number 17 and verse number 18, the Bible said here, and Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. I actually, I have no problem with either one of the verses, but I think the Bible complements itself. God said, if you'll just follow me, I'll help you. I'll teach you how. I'll make you to become fishers of men. I was at Liberty Baptist Church years ago, and I had a couple men in my church that loved to fish. And Brother Gary Musselman loves to fish, and Brother Doyle loves to fish. Anybody else here loves to fish? Amen. Sister Joyce, that fooled me. Amen. That's like Kim playing pickleball. Amen. That one blew me away. Amen. Loves to fish. Anybody else love to fish? They got some over here loves to fish. Amen. I love to fish when the fish are biting. I ain't got much for it, amen. I could sit in the woods till Jesus come, wait on deer to come by, but I ain't that good at fishing, amen. Amen. But I wanted to say that these two guys, they brought me one of them Polaroid. This was years ago, I'm telling my age. And they were standing about as far apart as this pulpit, and they had a stringer between them. And that stringer was hanging plumb full of walleye. As far as I'm concerned, there's not a better fish you can put in your mouth. Amen. Brother Doyle brought me some catfish, and I was telling him on our anniversary we was going to get into that catfish. And then my wife said, honey, said, you want catfish or you want walleye? Brother Doyle said, I'd have went with walleye too. Amen. Amen. I was happy to get either one of them. But they said to me when they held that picture up, said, what do you think, preacher? I said, tell you the truth, I'm not impressed. What? I said, that's right. I'm not impressed. How come? I said, I caught one last week, weighed over 200 pounds. I'm going to baptize him this morning. Amen. There wasn't no 200-pound walleye on that stringer. Amen. And I'm just making the point that our Lord, he wants us to become fishers of men. Look at Luke with me just a moment, chapter number 5. Luke chapter number 5. We're going to cover a lot of ground tonight, and I don't apologize for that. I want God to challenge our hearts tonight. Luke chapter 5. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 11. I'm going to read verse 1 through verse 11. And it came to pass as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon Peter, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. He used that ship like a pulpit, didn't he? And the Bible said, and when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. I reckon that word draught there means a bunch, amen, a good number of fish. And the Bible said, Simon answered, said, Master, we've toiled all night. Now, I'm reading between the lines right here, but Simon was a professional fisherman. Lord, we done been out there all night. Come on now. And then he said this, and we have taken what? Nothing. That's a long night. Say amen. Now they've cleaned the nets up. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. You know what I believe God wants us to do tonight? To determine in our heart when we leave this building tonight, at the word of God, we're going to let down the net. Amen. We're going to go fishing. And the Bible said, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. I'm telling you what, God can float your boat, but he can sink it too, can't he? Amen. He can give you so many blessings, say amen, that you feel like your boat's going to go under. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." You know what this is? This is an example of something I've preached for years. There have been times that God has had to whoop me. But more times than not, when I needed to be corrected, my Lord smothered me with his goodness. And he made me ashamed of where I was and the way I was doing. Amen. And that's what I believe happened here. Peter's ashamed. He said he was astonished and all that were with him at the drought of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." Do you see that right there? And then the Bible said, and when they had brought their ships to land, here it is again, Brother Chris, there's a cost involved. They forsook all and followed him. Now, I want to give you some things tonight. If we're going to go fishing and be a fisherman with the Lord Jesus, we're going to walk with him. To follow him is to walk with him. I'm going to give you some things tonight, and I'll try not to be too long at all, but I want to give you these seven things tonight that God put in my heart. I actually thought that I didn't have it. I had written it down in the top of a margin of a book that I was reading. This wasn't in the book at all, but I'd written some notes down. But God gave me enough sense that I had taken a picture of it, and I found it on my phone. Amen. When God was speaking, I learned a long time ago. Brother Danny Sykes said, "A bad pencil is better than a good memory." Amen. Write it down. Amen. And I learned that. So I'm going to give you what God gave me as I begin to think about this message on walking with the Lord, gone fishing. Number one, there needs to be a consciousness of eternity. Everybody that you and I meet this week, now listen, I said everybody that you and I meet this week is going to be somewhere forever. Everybody, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that you and I meet, our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors, people at the restaurant, people at the store, the market, everybody that we meet, Brother Dale, everybody that comes into your place of business, everybody is going to be somewhere forever. Everybody you work with in the pump shop, Brother Jason, every one of them is a soul that's going to be somewhere forever. And you and I that believe the Bible believes it's only one of two places. It's either a wonderful place called heaven or it's a terrible place called hell where God never intended for people to go there. I don't want to labor that point, but I will say this before I move on. Eternity is way too long to be wrong. You can be wrong about a lot of things, amen, and make it up, make it right, amen. But if you're wrong, when you enter into eternity, you'll be wrong for eternity. And thank God if you're right when you enter into eternity, you'll be right for eternity. And the cross is what makes the difference there. So there needs to be a consciousness of eternity. Number two, there needs to be conviction. Now this is really important right here concerning our responsibility. You see, if you're sitting there tonight and you say, "Now, Pastor, we have deacons and we have a pastor, and now listen, this thing of fishing, that's your business. That's not mine." Then you don't have a conviction concerning your responsibility to fish. You don't have a conviction concerning your responsibility. When Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven," did he say preachers? "Let your light so shine"? Did he say that? No. Did he say deacons? "Let your light so shine." Did he say Sunday school? No. He's talking to his people. Everybody that can say the Lord is my shepherd. Everybody can say, beloved, that he's my helper. Amen. In other words, if we were to go to the promise in John chapter 14, that was written to the disciples as Jesus was going to go to the cross. "Let not your heart be troubled." How many Christians have found comfort in that? You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. What I'm trying to say is it's a dangerous thing to say, "Well, that was to the apostles," or "That was to the disciples, and that don't apply to us." I'm going to tell you something right now.
Every word of God was given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine and for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Amen. That the man of God may be truly furnished unto all good work. So there needs to be a conviction concerning our responsibility. If there's not, let me tell you what we're doing. We're acting like Cain. You know what Cain said? Am I my brother's keeper? That's his business. That ain't mine. If he wants to die and go to hell, let him die and go to hell. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. That's a bad attitude. Amen. We need to understand our responsibility and be convicted in our heart about the responsibility. You know what? I'm not against training. I'm really not. But I tell you, the best people in the world to go fishing for the Lord Jesus are people just like a woman at the well that understand He knows about me, but He loves me. He done something for me. And just go downtown and tell somebody what He done for you. Amen. I'm telling you what's the truth. She didn't have any training, but the Bible said there were many in that town that believed on Him. They saw a change in that woman's life. She was a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, God wants us to understand our responsibility. I thought about the maniac of Gadara. He didn't have any training. But you know what he said? He said, Lord, I want to go with you. I want to go with you. Man, I know you now and you know me now. And it's just been so good. I want to go with you. He said, no, I want you to go home. He didn't say go home and attend a Bible college. I'm not against Bible college, but he didn't say go home and attend a Bible college. He didn't say go home and attend the soul winning course. He said go home and tell your friends how great things the Lord hath done for thee. Do you see that? We need some conviction in our soul. God, this is not just for the preacher and not just for the evangelist and not just for somebody that's been saved for 50 years, but God, this is for every one of us that's saved by the grace of God. A consciousness of eternity, there needs to be a conviction concerning our responsibility. You remember the Bible said, I believe it's Acts 1:8. And you shall be witnesses unto me. No, I'm not getting it. How's it start, Brother Jason? I'm not getting it all. Let's see. And you shall receive power. Thank you, Brother Jason. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. Now, are we going to take that right there and say, well, now that's what God told them people back there. By the way, let me tell you what, when he told them people right there, you go to the upper room, the men and the women were gathered together. God ain't never called a woman to preach. I'll say that and stand right there till Jesus comes. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, some of the best soul winners in the world were ladies, where God changed their life. Amen. And they wasn't ashamed of Jesus. They wasn't ashamed to share the Word of God. They wasn't ashamed of what the Lord did in their life. Amen. I'm telling you what, if God ever did call a woman, it would have been my mama. Amen. Amen. There needs to be a conviction concerning our responsibility. Then let me give you this, number three. The consciousness of eternity, a conviction concerning our responsibility. I mean, we need to get that nailed down. And if you don't, you're never going to follow the Lord in the way of being a fisher of men. Never going to do it unless you get that in your heart. Lord, I have a responsibility here. You didn't save me just to go to heaven. Let me say that again. God didn't save us just to go to heaven. If He had just saved me to go to heaven, He had knocked me in the head the day He saved me and took me to heaven. But He left me here. Why? Because thank God through these years I've been able to see this one and that one and this one and that one and this family and that family. Their lives changed by the same gospel that changed my life. He left me here. Number three, there needs to be clarity in the message. Clarity in the message. I think, Brother Jason, when you opened up or when you were making the announcements, was it this morning you talked? Or maybe tonight you were talking about they've been taught this and they've been taught that. I was that tonight? Okay. He thinks so. Amen. He's going to be a good pastor one day. He can't remember nothing. Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you this, beloved. Listen to me tonight. The Bible said, Paul told the church of Corinth, but I fear lest Satan should beguile you from the simplicity that's in Christ. If we're going to fish, we need to be clear about the gospel message. It's not just a come down the Bible way and you can go to heaven. Join our church and you can go to heaven. Let somebody sprinkle some water on you, you'll go to heaven. Let somebody dip you in a water hole and you'll go to heaven. Oh no, it's still the blood. Amen. That saves from sin. And all people need to know. Now listen, you say, Pastor, you're oversimplifying it. I don't believe I am. They need to know we're all sinners. And they need to know that every sinner owes a debt. The wages of sin is death. Amen. Death in the Bible is not just physical. It's spiritual. It's separation from God. It's eternal death. Amen. They need to know that we're sinners, that we owe a debt. And thank God Almighty, the greatest news you'll ever hear is Jesus went to Calvary and paid the debt for us. Amen. Jesus paid a debt he did not owe because you and I had a debt that we could not pay. And then if they'll just realize and agree with God, I am a sinner, Lord. Just like you said I am. And Lord, I do believe you died on that cross just like you said you did. And Lord, I want you to come into my heart and my life. I want you to forgive me of my sin. There's all kinds of ways you could say it. But the bottom line is, it's what you do with Jesus. You receive him, you can go to heaven when you die. You reject him, you'll never go to heaven rejecting Jesus. We must be born again. And that takes place because we heard a clear message. We needed to repent of sin, turn from our sin, and turn towards the Savior. Baptists, I tell you, in years gone by, they've got to arguing over whether repentance is necessary for salvation. I'm just going to say that's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard of in my life. My Savior said, except you repent, you'll likewise perish. Amen. That's pretty easy. Amen. And if that wall over there represents my sin and that wall over there represents my Savior, it is impossible for me to turn from my sin without turning to my Savior. And it's impossible for me to turn to my Savior without turning from my sin. You can do repentance toward God and not or and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So there's a consciousness of eternity. There's a conviction concerning our responsibility. There's clarity in the message. I told somebody this. I believe it was Tony. When Tony came up here, talked to me the last night of the revival, I told Tony this. You can believe this or not. Don't matter to me. It's the truth. It was easier for me to win souls before I was a preacher. You say, now, Pastor, how could that be? I'm going to tell you how it can be. When you knock on the door and you're the pastor, people's already automatically questioning your motive. What's he want? They're holding on to their pocketbook with both hands. Am I right or am I wrong? All he wants is a big number. But I'm telling you what, if you ain't even a deacon, you're nothing in the church, and you're out there telling people about Jesus, I'm just telling you, beloved, there's people that'll listen to you that wouldn't give me the time of day. And the Bible talks about a clarity in the message. Now, let me give you this, number four. There needs to be a compassion for souls. And if some have compassion, how many is glad somebody loved you? How many can say honestly you were loved to Jesus? Somebody loved you. Somebody lived before you in a way that was right, walking with God. How many can get a hold of this? You knew they had something you didn't have. You knew they had something you needed. Say amen. And so there needs to be a compassion for souls. The Bible said, if some have compassion, making a difference. Others save with fear. Pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. I've said this before. I'm going to say it again because I believe it's necessary. There's two extremes in fishing for men. One of them standing over here, and here's the extreme. Well, I just tell you right now, if they're going to get saved, God's going to have to do it, and God will do it. God don't need my help. God's already decided. That's what a lot of them saying because they're sorry. They're lazy. God's already decided who's going to go to heaven and who's going. That's a false doctrine. My God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Amen. That whosoever believeth in Him, it's not His will that any should perish. That's one extreme. And the other extreme's over here. And people are acting like a vacuum cleaner salesman. They got them a little card. And they just can't wait to put another notch in their gun belt. Say amen. Say, I want another soul to Jesus. I'm going to tell you something right now. And it's a salesmanship type thing. I'm going to tell you what, you leave the Holy Ghost out of it, you'll leave salvation out of it.
Amen.
There's no Holy Ghost involved, beloved. I'll tell you, there'll be no conversion involved.
Amen.
There'll be no holy life to follow. You might get a profession, but it takes a Holy Ghost to get a possession. For somebody to possess the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus, it takes a compassion for souls. That's taught in the book of Jude. I was watching the news last week, and Brother Jason, it really spoke to me. I mean this. There was a car. It wasn't just on fire. It was engulfed in flames. And there were people, Brother Chris, that ran in there and got that man out of that car. They ran right in those flames and pulled him out. They saved his life. Amen. Aren't you glad that there wasn't somebody standing over there watching that car burn up with that man in it, saying, well, it ain't none of my business. Amen. They were willing to put their life on the line. It could have cost them. Brother Jack, you've been in the law enforcement. You and I both know that those things can explode. And if they would have been within 20 feet of it when it exploded, it would have just blew them off in the field somewhere and took their life. The Bible said pulling them out of the fire. You and I, beloved, listen. Over here's an extreme. God's going to do it all. Over here's an extreme. I'm going to do it all. But right in the middle is where we need to be. Just laborers together with God. God, I've got the gospel. I've got Jesus in my heart and in my life. And God, I love my people. And God, I want to see my friends go to heaven with me. And Lord, I'm going to tell them. God, I'm going to speak to their ears. But God, I need You to speak to their heart. Clarity in the message. A compassion for souls. I got ahead of myself there. But the next one is confidence concerning the Holy Spirit. God, give me something today as I was meditating on this message. Y'all are, how many fishermen we got again? How many's got a boat? Amen, you got a boat. Hey, brother Michael, you got a fish finder on that boat? You do. Sounds to me like that's cheating, amen. You got a fish finder on that boat, brother? You looking for that school of, well, if you're from New York, it's probably crappie. But around here it's crappy, amen. We like to eat them. Say amen. This is what God gave him, Brother Jason. Hold on there, you all right? The Holy Ghost is the ultimate fish finder. If we'll just follow Him and be led of the Holy Ghost, Brother Chris, He'll show us right where some fish are biting. Amen. I don't know about you. I'm just glad to be here. So far, this is being received better than I thought it would be. You can't argue with God, can you? Amen. You can argue with pastor. But watch this. Not only is there a consciousness of eternity, a conviction concerning our responsibility, clarity in the message, a compassion for souls, confidence concerning the Holy Spirit. I just want to back up and share something. Some of you all, if not many of you all, you know this story, but some of you don't know the story. Brother Jim and Sister Marge Cable, Joy had met them years ago. I think it was this Friday night picking and grinning, wasn't it, sister? They get together at different places and up at Pizza Place, and Marge and Jim would always come, and Joy would always invite them to church. Now, Marge told me that. She said she'd been inviting me to church for years. Well, I like that, don't you? Well, Joy asked me on a Sunday night in November. How you know it's November? Because it's deer season. She asked me on a Sunday night in November. She said, Pastor, will you pray for my friends? Told me their names and said he's going to have heart surgery in the morning. I got up and I got my camouflage on. And I got, man, it was frosty. I'm telling you, there was no wind blowing. It was just right. I was looking forward to getting in the woods. Amen. And the Holy Ghost said, you ain't going hunting. You're going to the hospital. I got to the hospital and I'm standing there. Sister Marge is standing behind me. She'll watch this on tape. She tells me sometimes she watches the same broadcast two or three times. Amen. And Sister Marge was standing behind me and I'm explaining the gospel to Jim. And I get down and I said, Jim, what about it? Is God dealing with you about this? Yeah, he is. I said, what do you want to do about it, Jim? Do you want to trust you? Yeah, I do. And I turned around and looked at Marge and asked her. She had glasses on and tears were running like a river off of her chin. I said, what about you, Marge? She said, yes. And all three of us took hands as though two took Jesus to be their Savior. They've been faithful. Brother Jim's in heaven now. Glad that day, amen, he said yes to the Lamb of God. All I'm saying is this, beloved, listen. It's not about a preacher. That story's not about a preacher. It's about a Savior. If the preacher had done what he wanted to do, he'd have went to the woods. But the Spirit of God nudged my heart and said, I want you to go to the hospital. And I don't know about you, but I'm just as glad they're saved as they are. Amen. I'd hate to meet somebody as mean as Marge if she wasn't saved. Amen. She'll get that now. Amen. I blowed that balloon up and I just let the air out of it. Say amen. She'll get it on tape. Amen. I'll get a phone call. I hope that's all I get. Amen. Is a phone call. Amen. Precious, precious people. Confidence concerning the Holy Spirit. Then number six, there's a correlation with following Jesus. I'm going to ask a question tonight. If we're not fishing, are we really following? If our Savior said, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. How many believes that Jesus, how many believes he's in here? He walks in us, right? Brother Brian, do you believe that you could walk all this week with Jesus and him not nudge your heart about one soul going throughout this world all week long? You believe that, brother? I don't believe so. In other words, he's with me. You know, I'm not telling you your problem. I'm telling you our problem. Our problem is so many times we're so wrapped up in our own agenda and what we're doing, we don't hear his voice. We're not sensitive to his nudging. Say amen. I sat there the other day and there's a man, he had a walker, and I took my wife to Fisherman's Dock to eat, and this man had a walker and he had on a Trump hat. Now be careful. You say, what did you see when you saw a Trump hat? I saw an opportunity to witness. I went over to his table. We were waiting on our meal. We wasn't doing nothing anyway. And I went over to him and he said, Trump's going to win. I said, I'm going to tell you something, sir. I come over here to tell you this. I said, you remember when they shot at him and hit him in the ear? Oh, yeah. I said, the day after that, I preached a message entitled Truths from a Trump Rally. I gave him the web address. I said, will you look that up and watch it? He said, I will. Well, you know what Brother Adams done? He's done made sure that the first thing he sees on that website is going to be a 15-minute video pointing him towards Jesus. Say amen. I'm just telling you tonight, if we'd be sensitive, God would help us. Amen. There's a correlation of fishing and following. I don't believe you can deny it. The Bible said, let's see, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Some people don't even like that term, soul winning or winneth souls. They don't like that term. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. How about this, Daniel 12:3. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. I didn't write that. It's in the Bible. Daniel 12, chapter 12, verse 3. It's right there in the Bible. How about this? You remember, how many remembers when Paul encountered Agrippa? How many remembers what Agrippa said? He said, almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian. And you know what? You know what Paul said? He said, I would to God that thou wert not almost, but altogether such as I am, except these bonds. What I'm trying to say is God can use you and God can use me to persuade men. We can't save anybody. Jesus is the Savior. But God can use you and He can use me to persuade men that they need the Lord. I listened to the song Steve Green this week, and it's people need the Lord. He was singing it in a Billy Graham crusade. And then I want to give you this, and I'm finished tonight. I want you to turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 19. So far, we've looked at a consciousness of eternity, a conviction concerning our responsibility, clarity in the message. I borrowed Brother Chris's New Testament. And Brother Chris, every verse that I shared with Christy on Tuesday night was marked in your Bible except one. There was one that wasn't marked. But Brother Chris done had brackets around every verse. Anybody can do that. Amen, Brother Chris. If Brother Chris can do it, anybody can do that. Amen. You can take a New Testament. He's my buddy. Amen. You can take a New Testament. You can mark you some verses. I'm going to teach them they're a sinner, and I'm going to teach them they owe a debt. I'm going to teach them that Jesus paid that debt on Calvary. Amen. Anybody can do that. Anybody. Anybody that knows Jesus and has a burden for souls. The last thing in the message is there's going to be a coronation when we meet Jesus. How many believes that the 24 elders laid their crowns at the feet of Jesus in the book of Revelation? Now, I don't know about you, but I want a crown, Brother Gary. I want one. I don't want Brother Gary running up there with a crown to the throne of God and me standing behind him with nothing in my hands. He lays his crown at the feet of Jesus, and I ain't got one. I want one, Brother Preston. I want a crown. I want to show you something. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 19. He said, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Then he said this, he's talking to the church at Thessalonica, are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming. For ye are our glory and joy. When we get to heaven, beloved, listen. I believe there's going to be a reward for those that did not live for themselves. Those that walked with the Lord. Those that God said, come on, Peter, come on, Andrew, come on, James, come on, John. Those that said, I just leave this net. I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to walk with the Lord. I believe tonight with all of my heart that what I've given you tonight could really, really, really make a difference. I'm going to say this. God may use you, Brother Adam, to make a difference in somebody else's life. But when we're walking with the Lord, conscious of eternity, conviction that we have of responsibility, when we know the message and we can be clear in that message, when we love souls and we have a confidence in the Holy Spirit, and we know that if we're walking with Jesus and following Jesus, part of that's fishing. Fishing for men. Not only is it going to be a blessing to those we encounter. When's the last time you gave your testimony? When's the last time you told somebody where you were, how old you were, when you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Everybody's testimony is unique. We have some things in common. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Amen. We have all kinds of things in common, but we have some things that are unique in every one of our testimonies. Brother Jason, were you nine, brother? You were 9 years old. Okay, I was going completely on memory when you got saved. Brother Chris? 26, 27. I was 27 when I got saved. Were you at home, brother? If you were at home, where were you, Brother Chris? You were at home. I was in a Baptist church on a Sunday night. Where were you, Brother Dale, when God saved you?
Abingdon, Virginia.
In a church service or where, bro? I can't. At a horse show. My goodness, amen. God can say, did somebody get under a burden for you and present the gospel at a horse show? Praise God and the Lamb forever. Amen. If you know Brother Bob Steele, you know what he just said. Amen. He said, there's a boy that needs Jesus. I didn't come up here just for horses. Amen. I come up here to help this fella get a ride one day after a while on one of them white horses when Jesus comes out of heaven. Amen. I like it. Amen. Amen. Old Brother Bob. Amen. He said, I didn't tell the Lord I'd preach. He said, I just told him I'd get in the pulpit. If he's ain't preaching done, he'd have to do it. Yeah, I've heard him say that 100 times. Amen. Amen. What a blessing. Brother Gary, how old were you when you got saved? 25. Some of us were hard-headed, wasn't we? Amen. Me and you and old Chris, we was hard-headed. Amen. Brother Brian, how old were you when you got saved, brother? 12 years old, amen. Yeah. Where were you, Brother Brian, when you got saved?
Talking to my mom at the house.
At the house.
Amen.
Amen. And she said, you don't have to handle it anymore. Has somebody done paid the price?
Yeah.
Brother Jack, how old were you when you got saved, brother? 12 years old. Church, home?
Tent revival
below my house. Tent revival. Yeah. Oh, how many remembers Brother Eddie Crusenberry? Brother Eddie come to our church one time. Yeah. And anyway, his daddy's name was Bud. I could have got saved years before I did if I didn't have so much pride. Oh, Brother Bud, he's one of them preachers, honey. He, when he got up and preached, there'd be white stuff in the corner of his mouth. Amen. Somebody asked Brother Mays, what is that? He said, that's honey from Canaan's fair land. Amen. Oh, Brother Bud got up preaching one night. You know what he's preaching on, Brother David? Religious wrecks on the highway to hell. I'm telling you, God set my barley field on fire. But that pride kept me back. Went on for years. Before I was able to swallow that pride, say yes to Jesus. I'm just telling you tonight, beloved, we've all got some things different about our testimonies. I'm going to go back to that question. When's the last time you told somebody your testimony? When's the last time you shared with somebody? That woman at the well, she said, come see a man. Y'all ain't going to believe this. He told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? I like to stop right there, and I like to explain. You see, I don't know for sure that Jesus told her all things ever that she did, but he told her enough that she knew that he knew everything she had done. And when the Spirit of God gets a hold of you, that's the same way. Say amen. You can't hide nothing from him. There was going to be a coronation. The Bible said to obey is better than sacrifice. I wonder sometimes if people don't think, well, man, I give a lot of money in the offering. Thank God you give money in the offering. But that don't relieve you of your responsibility to fish. They don't. Well, Pastor, we take care of you, and we take care of you and your wife and your needs. That don't relieve you of your responsibility. You may not believe that tonight, but come to judgment seat of Christ. You mark my word. You'll believe it then.
Amen.
If we're not following, or if we're not fishing, are we really following Now, here's what I'm going to do tonight. We're not going to have no formal invitation or nothing like that. But up here's a gospel track. It says, thank you. I'm going to get real personal with you now. How many of you is going to eat out sometime this week? I'm standing behind him, Brother Richard. I don't know. It's still ringing a little bit. You going to eat out? How many? Raise your hand up there. How many's taking me? Here's a track I wrote. It says, how are you doing? I wrote it in honor of my dad. You ask people, how are you doing? Some will say, blessed. Some will say, I'm doing well. Some will say, I'm doing fine. Some will say, I'm doing good. And others say, I'm doing great. That's all on the front of it. Down at the bottom, it says, better than I deserve. That's what my daddy, that's the way my daddy always answered that. When somebody said, how are you doing, John? He'd say, better than I deserve. Many times, Brother Brian, he had the opportunity. They'd say, what do you mean by that? And daddy could tell him, all I ever deserved was hell. But Jesus saved my never dying soul. Amen. Up here is probably, I think, one of the best, most thorough tracts you could ever get in your life. It's called God's Simple Plan of Salvation. What I like about this track is it addresses religiosity right off the bat. I'm not asking you if you've been baptized or if you're a member of a church or if you've got all your Sunday school pins. I'm asking you if you've been to Calvary. Amen. Over here's one that says, if you died today, would you go to heaven? I tried to ask a lady that, and she was answering the question before I even got it out, wasn't she, brother, this week? She was answering, oh, no, 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 she was saying. Now, here's one that says how to know you're going to heaven. How many believe there's a no-so? Here's some little cards up here. I told somebody a while ago I was up here dealing these cards. I was playing cards. Here's some little cards where I stood in front of the camera, and Brother Jim and Brother Richard, they videoed me. And I'm standing right here. And I'm not preaching. I'm just presenting the gospel. Now, I will say this. I'll confess. It says 15 minutes, and that's what I was aiming for. And I believe it's like 16 minutes and 9 seconds or something like that. For a Baptist preacher, that ain't bad. I sat last year in the deer stand, Brother Mike. Took a pen and wrote on the wall of my deer stand. I don't have the common deer stand. Mine's got a heater in it and windows. Amen. Brother Keith said, that ain't right. That ain't fair. I said, you hush. Go on, freeze if you want to. Amen. But I sat there and counted the verses of Scripture. Brother Brian, there's 39 verses of Scripture in a 15-minute gospel presentation. Somebody can scan that QR code right there and it takes them right to the video. Now here's what I want to do tonight. And I don't want to just do it tonight. I want your help. Every Sunday night, this is what I want to do. I want you to come by the communion table and I want you to start with one. I've already told you what this literature is about. I want you to start with one. And I want you to carry one of these. If you can't kneel, I'd like for you to go to the front bench somewhere, and I'd like you to take it, and I'd like you to say, Lord, I want to go out there and sow some seed this week. Lord, I'm going to take this one. And Lord, I want you to direct my path. I want you to nudge my heart, Lord. Who gets this week? I'm telling you, it'll change your life. Amen. You can't interrupt people if they're at the cash register. You can't say, let me tell you about Jesus, you know. But you can give somebody something and say, could I give you something to read in your spare time? Somebody might reject it. That's okay. If they ever stand before God unsaved, God will take them back to the place where somebody had the truth right in front of them. And they rejected it. Here's what I want to say to you tonight. If we'll do this, God will bless you. He'll bless you. Lord, I'm going to take one of these 15-minute cards. I'm going to take a track. And I'd like to start with just one. If you're already involved in that ministry of telling others about Jesus, just don't take but one here. They're all over the church back there. You can get more. Amen. But I'd like to every Sunday night, I tell you, it'll change us. It'll change our community. How'd you like to be working at Walmart and three times in the same week get invited to the same church? How'd you like to be working at the pharmacy? Amen. Or working at the car wash or working at the restaurant and get invited to the same church. Amen. But listen, here's something better than that. All of this stuff is inviting them to the same Jesus. The important thing is not whether they go to Bible Way or not. The important thing is whether they go to heaven or not. So I'm going to pray tonight. And if you'd like to join Jesus and do a little fishing this week, I want you to come. Get you a piece of literature. I don't want you to just take it and go back to your seat. I want you to find your place and pray over it. It won't take long. And say, Lord, I want you to direct my steps. I want you. And I you know what I'm looking for, Brother Jason? There are going to be testimonies coming back through that door. You mark my word. It may not be next week. It may not be the week after. There are going to be testimonies coming through that door. You're going to say something like this. Can you believe that the likes of him used the likes of me to accomplish something for his glory? You see, none of us, beloved, are fit for... We're not fit to kill without him. But we have him. So let's go fishing. Amen. Let's walk with the fish finder. Amen. Ask God to lead us this week. These girls go to a Christian school. You know, girls, I've believed this for years. Melody and Allie, I've believed this for years. A mistake, I think it's a bad mistake that a lot of preachers make when they go into a Christian school to preach. You know what I believe the worst mistake they can make is? They assume everybody's saved. I hardly ever go there. What, somebody don't trust Jesus, Brother Brian, as their Savior. Honey, some of them's there because they're too mean for public school. But some of them have been to Sunday school and been to church. But that ain't going to get you to heaven. You're going to have to get to Calvary if you're going to go to heaven. Amen. So let's pray tonight. And I'm just going to give you a few minutes. If you'll participate, God will bless you. I pray that you will, that you'll come and get a piece of literature and pray over it, and God will direct us, and it'll be a great blessing. We've got a visitation scheduled Tuesday night, and we've said it, and we'll say it again. We're never going to send anybody out that's not comfortable visiting, but we'll send you with somebody. Amen. That you might learn the ropes, so to speak. Amen. And learn how to fish for the Lord. Amen. Brother Jason, you lead us in prayer, brother.